There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Full Time Report, Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman here live inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where Atlanta United and Inter Miami have played to a very thrilling 2-2 draw, and it was paid off in the 61st minute for all the fans in attendance. Lionel Messi did step out onto the pitch, and we'll talk about it. We'll break it all down over the course of the next hour, but just moments ago, down on the field, our own Garrett Chapman caught up with Atlanta United manager Rob Valentino after the 2-2 draw.
Coach, you made the move to get Alexi over on the right. What you wanted to see out of him?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought we could have exploited them more with some more of the space to get them in those little half spaces. Ultimately, it was like try to get three solid midfielders in there and then kind of give them a little bit of freedom in attack. But yeah, eventually we had to shift it as the game started to open up, and we thought we could get more attacking numbers forward with pace and with Edwin, guys like that, Johnny. But yeah, it was okay. I thought the adjustment to bring him in the middle of the pitch was better.
So you battled back twice from two deficits. Did you get that sort of fight that you wanted to see, that life, the performance that you wanted from them?
Yeah, I mean, these are the standards that we talk about, and I think that, look, I'm happy that we rescue a point. I'm frustrated in the way that we have to do that, where we give up sloppy goals, and I just feel like that's not the way we should be. We should set the standard that this should be it every single time, and this is what it should take. And that's the conversation we've had over the last couple days since the last game. So, yeah, I saw it, but that's a prerequisite to play on this team.
Did you like what you saw from Pedro Amador today?
Yeah, Pedro's been fantastic. I mean, the last two games, I can't say enough good things. He blocks one off the line. Like, he's a real team player, and he works really hard. And I'm really happy for him. He did play really well.
Coach, great result. Thank you so much. Atlanta United won a 2-2 draw with Inter Miami.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's plenty to break down in regards to this game, and you mentioned Pedro Amador. I had a single star around his name. I wanted to talk about the performance that he had. We saw Alexi Maranchuk get on the scoreboard. We're going to talk about an absolute golazo to equalize things in the 84th minute, a thrilling strike from him. But I want to start here, Garrett, with just the overall effort as they're getting ready to hear from Rob Valentino in the press conference. We'll go down there when he does take to the mic, but in general, let's start with Lionel Messi. Mm-hmm. The crowd reaction to seeing him start to warm up on the sidelines, the pop he gets when he enters, and then certainly his play throughout the second half.
Really, I thought that was Julian Gressel subbing off. They're just kind of honoring the old Atlanta United.
Now you're just stealing jokes, man.
I know. It's so good, though. But no, the energy that Leo Messi brings to this league is palpable. You can feel it whenever he – I mean, he was walking up and down the in line, and people were going crazy. They were overflowing the seats and coming out and spilling over to the side, you know.
Fire hazard.
It was definitely not, the fire marshal was not thrilled about that fact, but you know, that's the sort of allure that this league needed. You know, when you bring that sort of energy and that just stardom that Messi has, I mean, it elevates the entire league, and that's just exactly what MLS needed. And when he actually plays out on the pitch, I mean, his play is marvelous. I mean, he's able to turn nothing into something. It wasn't able to turn into a goal for Miami tonight, but look, he gave them life in moments where they felt like they were falling apart. But really, huge credit to Atlanta United for battling back in this second half. What they were able to do, and like, they were on the ropes multiple times. They battled back from two deficits. I talked to Coach about that. And that's the standard. That's what they're supposed to be doing. And that's the expectation. So to see that here on the pitch tonight against the best team in Major League Soccer was very good to see.
Well, look, it was an honor to see Lionel Messi step out on the pitch, but do not get it twisted. Atlanta United was the better team in the time that he did step out mm-hmm. there. And they made some subs of their own. Jay Fortune, Edwin Mosquera, they had an impact as well. Real quick, let's go and head on down to the press conference room. It sounds like Rob Valentino, Atlanta United manager, is just about set to take the podium.
Question or a statement, but can you kind of put your finger on why the team seems to finish games better than it starts games?
No, I mean, no, I can't. Like that, that's what I told them at the end there. Like that is the standards that we're talking about. You start the way we played that game at the end, the way maybe not from a tactical standpoint that it's so open and all that. It's not the type of soccer we want to play. But in terms of work rate and a commitment to try to win the game, that's what I'm talking about. That's every day. That's every day at training. That's every single day behaviors over a consistent period of time, and then it gets you far. You can't just, like I said last week, you can't just turn it on, turn it off. So it doesn't work that way. So maybe in life the result is fair from that standpoint. I think the fans need a massive thank you because when they showed up, regardless of who came to play against us, they showed up and they supported us when the moment started to get better for us and the transition moment started to open up. They were pushing those guys on. So that's a huge credit to them, and thanks for coming back.
And just one point from these two home matches, how much damage is that going to do in the playoff hunt for y'all?
Well, the way I looked at it there was I think we're sitting 1 point out of it. So, yeah, I can sit there and think about being disappointed with that, or I can move forward and now we got to pick up points on the road. We always knew we were going to have to anyway. So now we know where we stand and we got to do the work on the road.
Sir, Henry.
Rob, you have to be thrilled with the team's, I guess, resilience. You know, the performance on Saturday, of course, we already talked about, was it to the standard that you expect for the team? But I'm sure you're happy with the resilience, considering the opponent, considering where they are in the standings. How do you take that on to Saturday, another important match against NYCFC?
Red Bull.
Or
Red Bulls. Yeah.
Sorry, Red Bull.
I mean, I'm happy with the resilience that they showed, like with your words there. At the end, I just, like I said, I want that to be everyday behaviors. I want that to be from the start. That's what we preach. That's what we talk about doing all the time. So it's, I said to them before, it's like words into action. So that doesn't become, again, it's like people don't just, success doesn't just happen. It's everyday behaviors. It's working hard. It's getting better at your craft. It's showing up every single day with the fight, the commitment to get better. And not just showing up when you want to show up or when you're playing against a big team. Because Doug asked me that question earlier this week, and I don't believe in that. I believe that you work hard every single day. You show up every single day to the highest standard you can possibly go to. And then from there, that's where luck happens. That's where you start to create your own luck. So, yeah, I'm happy with it. I sound angry. Like, I don't mean to be that way. Like I am happy that we got a point. I think we deserve three. But you can't start that way. So in life, maybe it all evens out.
All right.
Rob, it looked like Alexi was started the game kind of playing more on the right side, kind of drifting over there. Could you explain kind of the decision to play him on that side rather than kind of the natural 10? Obviously, you didn't move him there later in the game, it looked like. And how do you feel about him getting the goal today?
Yeah, I made the decision to put three central midfielders in there to, don't know who would play for them. So I thought from a defensive standpoint, can we be really solid and organized defensively? He's played out wide right before. He was, he's comfortable in those positions. On an attacking side, I wanted him to roll in tight, like in the pockets of space. That we didn't get that as much, not any fault to his. And then as the game was going to drag on, we knew we could make substitutions and hopefully change from there. From that standpoint, that's what I was thinking. And then, yeah, the goal is a fantastic goal. He had another chance right before that, I think. We know that he's got good finishing ability. I've been telling you guys this every day at training when we watch stuff back and we're like, man, this kid's got a great release on his shot. So I'm really happy for him. And it's now he can integrate himself into the team officially. He's really, there's your first goal. Now you can kick on and score some more.
Second row.
Igor Rebiner, Sport Express. So there are two of us representing Russian.
There you go. You guys can
media,
come every week.
Yeah. So very predictably, we also would like to ask about Marinchuk. So you spoke already about his today's performance, but what is your general feeling about his ability to feel the league, to feel the club, to communicate with the coach, with the coaching staff and the players, and in general, what kind of personality is he in your feeling?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about just adapting him as quick as possible. It's difficult, no matter where you come from, to come into this league. It's such a different league, especially to go from a team, the Italian league, to come here from a very, very tactical league, very controlled, and then he plays in a game like that, and he's probably like, where am I at? And we've had those conversations, so he's adapting. He was asking the question to me the other day when we were talking about the league is like that. It's, you know, you got teams that spend a lot of money on their attacking half, and sometimes their defending part of their team is maybe not the most expensive players, so you end up with these games that are open. He's, yeah, I'm trying to figure out why that works that way. But yeah, he's adapting really well. I think he's a fantastic personality. He's a great player, and I think he's going to really help the team.
Yeah, I think we've saw the best Alexi Maranchuk tonight in that last 30 or so minutes, and certainly the goal had the major impact. We may hear more about Alexi Maranchuk in just a moment. But, look, it was 1 point, and I know Rob Valentino kind of specified, felt the team played good enough for three. Look, if there were like 2 minutes left, maybe they would have found three more points, or not three more, but the full 3 points there in this match. But it was also a situation where, depending on results down the road, this 1 point could be an important one. You had to get something from this game at home, and you did. But again, we'll continue to break it all down as we go. Real quick, a statistical recap that's brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Healthcare offers you exceptional hassle-free care closer to home. Piedmont, the official adult healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Possession, a slight margin there for Miami, 52% to 48%. Atlanta United had the edge on shot, 17 to 12. Miami had more on goal, though, 7 to 5. And I saw the XG for Atlanta at 1.52, for Miami at 1.72, but it does vary by website. And then we also have to take care of some business here in terms of handing out our man of the match. I'm really interested to see where you go with this one, Garrett, because I think you can make a pretty strong argument for three or four players in this one. Obviously, guys tally goals, and that puts you towards the top. But Pedro Amador, who we're going to talk about later, was very strong and added something, and we'll deal with that when Mike and Jason join us later, but added something we maybe haven't gotten a lot of throughout the course of the season. But that being said, who do you have as their man of the match?
Yeah, I think it came down to the two newcomers, Pedro Amador. I mean, he had a tremendous performance here tonight. He had one really important clearance in this one, but he also got logged his first assist as a member of Atlanta United. But you got to give it to the newest newcomer, Alexi Maranchuk. He comes in and gets a goal. Has three key passes in this one, has 31 accurate passes, touched the ball 53 different times. I mean, like, he's all over the ball, and you can see the quality really starting to come out. He had flashes of it in the first half, but then in the second half it's really where he shined, where they brought in some of the other substitutes that were able to push up the pitch a little bit more, and he was able to drop back and find that little crease across in front of goal, and that's where you saw his quality. And that's why Atlanta was able to level out the scoring and get a result here against the best team in Major League Soccer.
And that result was a 2-2 draw, 1 point for Atlanta United. The live table right now has them in 11th right now, as DC United is 10th, and Philadelphia with a huge win tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But Atlanta still in that discussion to try and find themselves into that ninth spot, potentially the eighth if things turn in their favor. We'll continue to break it all down. We'll also let you hear that goal that you mentioned that Amador had an assist on. We'll let you hear that goal you mentioned that Maranchuk put home in the 84th minute when we continue the full-time report. It's Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Full time! This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full Time Report, and it was the worst of times, it was the best of times, and it was a tale of two halves for Atlanta United, but they pull out a 2-2 draw. Let's jump into some highlights. They are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And Atlanta started the match on the back foot. No cohesion in attack early. Miami had all the momentum, and that momentum was capped off in the 29th minute with a David Ruiz kick to score to kick off the scoring for Miami.
Drop back in the middle now to Bright, who will bounce it off to the left 30 yards from goal. Here's Negri coming for it around Maranchuk, sends it down the middle off a deflection. Here's a shot from the penalty spot and a goal by Miami. No offside because the ball was deflected by Atlanta, and David Ruiz, who was wide open from the penalty spot, slam dunks it past Guzan, and it's 1-0.
Yeah, it was a bit of bad luck for Atlanta. They reviewed it, but they upheld the call. Atlanta was down 1-0 early in this match, and that generally is a kiss of death for Atlanta United. They're 1-10-4 coming into this match, win conceding first. But Atlanta did start to make some runs to finish out the half, but they don't get a single shot. Only one key pass and a 0.1 XG. But you did see some of that quality from Alexi Maranchuk. He had a few quality moments, but it hadn't all come together. But that does change in the 56th minute. Atlanta gets on the board with this Saba strike.
Riccardi dribbling. Riccardi down the middle off center spot to the front side of center circle. Loops it ahead to Amador. A good ball. In the left corner of the 18. He sends it to the penalty spot. Header! Score! Listen, all you all, it's a sabotage! Another goal in this match that comes out of absolutely nowhere. Somehow, though, we're even at one.
Saba evens the scoring 1-1. That's his seventh goal of the season in Atlanta United best. And it's the first assist for Pedro Amador. But it was only short because just 3 minutes later, Campagna retakes the lead for Miami.
Hey, you could stand on the end of the wall. Can't do that now. You've got to be a certain distance away.
So Taylor is standing over the ball, and then behind it is Campana.
I wonder if you're going to see a little misdirection here.
Now it's Taylor to the left and Campana to the right. And Campana is up to it. He goes for goal, deflected in. Well, that didn't take long. 2-1 Miami.
It was another unlucky break for Atlanta United. It felt like it was just working against them today. And Miami takes advantage with their second goal of the match. Then a guy named Lionel Messi subs into this match, and you really felt a little bit of energy take up for Miami. But it was Atlanta responding, and it was Alexi Maranchuk, our designated player, who evens the score with this stunner.
On the far touchline to Atlanta.
Amador blocks a shot on the goal line and then starts the attack with a wonderful ball.
Off the throw, Maranchuk, right corner of the 18, shot, score! Goal, Lasso! From Russia, with love, what a Golasso to open your MLS account, Alexi Maranchuk, it's 2-2.
That was in the 84th minute and six added minutes in this match, and Atlanta felt like they were just a minute or two away if they just had a little bit more stoppage time. It felt like they would have had a chance to potentially take all 3 points in this match, but that is your final. 2-2 is your score. Atlanta United gets the draw and runs away with a point.
Look, there's no denying what we saw tonight, and that was a team that was driven by a poor performance. And look, I don't know how they respond in future games, but Rob Valentino said you're not going to see a performance like what you saw on Saturday night ever again, at least not while he's on watch. And you certainly were concerned about that, but once again, they rise to the occasion, as Mike Conte pointed out on last on Saturday's full-time report. Up to the competition, down to the competition, and tonight was a moment where they played up to the competition, Inter-Miami, and more specifically, once Lionel Messi stepped onto the pitch. Mm-hmm. I would argue that was the inspiring moment. That was the turning point. They had looked a little bit better throughout the early stages of the second half. We know we got the Saba goal from Amador in the second half, but it almost became one side versus one man when Messi stepped on to the pitch. Atlanta United was getting a lot of the play. Messi on his own was doing some things, but the rest of his teammates really didn't seem to support him a ton. And it was kind of waiting to see, would Messi have a moment of glory, in which he did not? Would Atlanta have a moment of glory, in which they did? And quite frankly, as you referenced, almost had a second one. They had a ball hit the post off a deflection. I mean, a third goal was very close. Saba had a bender, that's right. A third goal was very close.
And I do want to shout out the back line. The play of the back line was tremendous tonight. I felt like the two goals that we did see from Miami were just mostly bad breaks. That's what it felt like. And Atlanta was the better side today, I would say, especially in that second half. But we do have some player audio. We want to hear from them. We also want to talk to Mike Jason. We will hear from them. But you got to wait 5 minutes. Coming up here on the other side, Atlanta United 2-2 draw with Inter Miami. Abe and Garrett here on the full-time report.
Back to the full-time report.
Full time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where Atlanta United and Inter Miami both come away with a point, a 2-2 draw in this one. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $12,000. While there were many fans here who were hoping to get a glimpse of Lionel Messi on the pitch, they were given that opportunity in the 61st minute. He came in for former Atlanta United player Julian Gressel. But also coming in at that same time were Edwin Mosquera and Jay Fortune. It really felt like that's when the tide for Atlanta United, eventually leading to the 84th minute equalizer, and a number of close calls there in stoppage time that almost saw Atlanta United grab all 3 points, but unfortunately unable to do so. They will settle for the one. But Jay Fortune met with the media a couple of moments ago here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Awesome. All right, I guess first question, you know, you're coming in. What is the message to Rob and the staff as you're about to get subbed in?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the moment we're chasing the game. So it was just about trying to take control of the game, create chances, try and get goals in, and then from there try and go on to win it. But have energy, be aware of, obviously, the creative players they have and whatnot.
Going in, you know, stepping up to a player like Messi, like Inter Miami, you don't want to center all the play around one specific player, but you went and showed up and had a lot of really good stops for the team. Going into this week, how do you kind of block that out and not allowing the opponent or a player on the specific team to really cloud it and seem like trying to switch things the way you guys normally play?
Yeah, I mean, I think the message for this game was trying to focus on us. Obviously, you have to be aware of the quality that they have, but at the same time, too, if we play to the ability that we're able to play to and whatnot, then it we can try and dominate the game and dictate the pace of the game. And I think there are moments today where we were able to do that, but I think we would like to not have it be so transitional, but at the end of the day, we just played the way we were supposed to.
How does a result like this, especially getting the goals that you guys did on the board, how does that help you guys moving in, especially on a road trip to New York Red Bulls this Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, the fight of the team showed. The way we ended the game, you could see everybody was tired. I think it was a little unfortunate because, you know, we feel like we could have won the game, we should have won the game, and we didn't, but I think into the next game against Red Bulls, we're trying to take the same energy, the same fight, and try and take the goals with us, because, you know, you can't win if you don't score. So.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah. Our good friend Matty Cruz providing the content there with Jay Fortune as we welcome in the voices of Atlanta United Mike Conney and Jason Longshore. And it's Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, let's start with what happened in the 61st minute. Lionel Messi comes in. We get the big pop, but Atlanta United brings in some players too. And to me, watching the game, that's when it really flipped. And it really felt like, for whatever reason, that was the moment where the energy, the performance, the duels, the 50-50s, the free run, all of that kind of ramped up for Atlanta United, provided, albeit in a draw, a thrilling finish that saw them nearly come away with all 3 points.
Yeah, but here's two things. Goal to have Miami go back up is 2 minutes before the changes with Messi coming in. And one of the first actions when Jay Fortune comes in is to stuff Lionel Messi inside the 18.
He was on him all night.
Yeah, and you saw that energy. He was on Messi, but then he also flipped the field and led breaks. Jay Fortune changed the energy from Atlanta United. I think the fans' energy changed when Messi came into the match, and you expect that in these kind of moments. Driving in, I was having that feel of Michael Jordan at the Georgia Dome, kind of, okay, you've got a legendary player making an appearance in Atlanta. There's going to be a different vibe in the building because of that. You saw Messi shirts. You saw Argentina shirts. You saw Miami shirts. That's fine. You're talking about the greatest to ever play. But then Atlanta took that energy and channeled it in a good way.
Right.
And it was lacking before. And it's like we have to talk about both. The energy level being bad for 60 minutes is unacceptable. And Rob Valentino is banging his head against the wall for that to change. You know, I wish he could flip the switch. He can't. He can't get out there and play. If he would, he probably would have went in two-footed on somebody at some point in the game, knowing him as a player. But the energy in the building changed, Mike, when Messi came on. When Messi was warming up, it changed. Mm. But then Atlanta, and I think especially Jay Fortune and Edwin Mosquera, took that energy and channeled it.
I wanted to mention Mosquera just briefly because he had a little bit of a Charlie Brown night finishing. Like he had an unmarked header from the penalty spot that he put wide, and a little bit unfortunate there. But the runs he was making down the right wing in the second half were giving Miami problems, and he was getting into dangerous spots. So I know there's going to be a lot of concentration on Mosquera's finishing. I thought he was very effective, though, and also helped to change the energy. I want to go back to something, though, that we talked about at halftime. You brought up the point that someone's just got to go out and do something. I think it was at the beginning of the second half. Someone just go out and do something. You know, if you have to two-foot a guy or shove a guy or get stuck in, it's a show some fight. Mm. You know, and this is something we talked about last Saturday after the Nashville match. I was really distressed because I thought the only player on the pitch last Saturday that was showing any kind of emotion was Brad Guzan, especially when Steven Gregerson or Pedro Amador got cleaned out on a very, very dirty play at the end of that match. Brad's the only guy reacting. That, to me, was distressing. What we have noticed, I think, a couple times this year, Jason, I think we saw it again tonight with Jay Fortune, whether it's good or not, the players that you are seeing right now really playing with the knife in their teeth and really, really fighting for this club are the players who have grown up with this club and have developed through this club. And Jay Fortune's one of them. And I thought we saw it with Caleb Wiley at times this year. I think we've seen it with Luke Brennan at times this year when he's played. It's your
Noah home, Cobb.
Noah
Efrain
Cobb.
Morales.
Yeah, thank you.
Luke Brennan.
Yeah,
I mentioned Luke, yes.
Yeah.
You know, those are the guys. Be nice, Abe. Be nice. Those are the guys who I think have really, in a little bit of an unexpected turn for me, taken on a leadership role. I hope that maybe sends a message to some of the veterans who, again, quite frankly, I mean, I won't call anyone out by name because it's very hard to quantify this. I just don't see intensity from a lot of the veterans on this team right now.
It's not a bad thing that your homegrowns are doing it, and I think it's what you should have happen. If anybody's going to feel the weight of the badge, and look, it has a weight to it. If you are a player and you come in and you put on that Atlanta United shirt, it should mean something to have that badge on you. The guys who are going to feel that the most are the ones who've worn it the longest. And you're talking about Jay Fortune moving here from Raleigh, North Carolina, leaving his family as a teenager to come here and chase that dream. And he's had to work for it. And he has worked and outworked people at every single level. This is a kid who is 21 years old, who at times is showing the most maturity on the field.
But it does need to be contagious. It needs to inflict upon the guys who maybe aren't as you're referencing, that grew up in here.
I think it is, but I think the challenge, and you can't, Jay can't make that happen by himself. And other guys have to take it. I'm with you. But you also do have to then celebrate what fortune is bringing. I'm like, I'm noticing pointing things out. I'm noticing communicating.
Yeah.
Like, he does not play like a 21-year-old. He is, I think, a must-play guy at this point for Atlanta United.
And that's what was really what I wanted to ask here. It's at what point do you just put those guys in?
Well, you are. And I do want to clarify one thing.
Start them and play them like a
But I want to clarify something. It's a three-game week. So you can't say that because Fortune didn't start, he's not that. He is that. Think about what you're facing on Saturday against the Red Bulls. That game is going to be totally transitional. You can't have Dax McCarty in that game asking him to go back end-to-end in that game. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can have Tristan Mbeumo in that game going end-to-end. Jay Fortune can do that. So you had to think about that and also consider this game's going to be slower. This game is one that you can play different players. I don't think the fact that Fortune didn't start, and we talked to Rob Valentino about this week, it was about the week as a whole and knowing how much of a priority Red Bull was going to be for Fortune.
Yeah, and after picking up a point and some of the other results throughout the league tonight, It certainly is going to be. This is the full-time report. It's Mike Connie and Jason Longshore joining myself, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman as well. When we come back here, I also want to talk about Pedro Amador. We've spoken about him a little bit, but I thought he was outstanding. We'll let Mike and Jason compliment him a little bit as well. We'll also hear from the netminder. Brad Guzan is going to spoke as well. We'll hear what he had to say on the other side. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bad Bat with more full-time report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon here, high above Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and joined, of course, by the voices of Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore, and I'll bring them in here in just a moment. But one person who had really an exemplary match in this 2-2 draw with Inter Miami was the new addition at left back, Pedro Amador, brought in to replace Caleb Wiley and kind of brings a defensive edge. And we saw that here tonight with this block from Pedro Amador.
On the far touchline to Atlanta.
Amador blocks a shot on the goal line and then starts the attack with a wonderful ball.
Off the throw, Moranchuk, right corner of the 18, shot, score! Golazo!
The play of Pedro Amador today was tremendous. What did you see from him, Jason?
He is a player who, you know, remember, I think when he was probably first being looked at, Caleb Wiley was still here. You didn't know if the Caleb Wiley deal was going to get done and how that would look. So Amador is being looked at as depth at that point. Ronald Hernandez came in after Caleb left and before Amador was eligible to play in the transfer window. It was Ronald Hernandez who took the left back spot and made it his. And then he got hurt and Pedro had to get thrown in. And he has done a pretty good job and I think really grown game after game. Out in L.A., struggled in the 1v1s against maybe two of the best wingers that the league has from the L.A. Galaxy. But he was very good in Charlotte. I thought against Nashville, he was very brave. I mean, he ends up getting beat up by Sam Surridge at the end of it. He was solid. Nobody stood out against Nashville. Tonight, he stood out. He was my man of the match. And it's the not just the moment with the block, but that's huge. It's the ball after the block to open things up. That's an incredible diagonal ball. 60-70 yards. He has the assist on the cross to Saba. Pedro Amador gave you everything you could ever want and more tonight.
It's funny, by the way, if Jordi Alba does not make that lunging kind of side volley to keep it from going out over the end line, the Moranchuk goal never happens.
Yep.
So Jordi Alba made a fantastic play because he didn't want to concede a corner. In a way, if you look at the analytics, it almost rolled the dice and concede the corner because Atlanta has been
the analytics say
dreadful.
Go for it all the time.
Well, Atlanta's been
have they ever said punt? I'm just saying.
No. But it's just there were two kind of weird plays in the build up to that because let's face it, Amador, it's a huge block. his back is also to the shot, so there is a little bit of luck
involved. He's making himself as big as possible.
No, he was.
Give him credit.
He was, but his back was to the shot.
Well, look, their goalie got nutmegged. He did a good job not to.
Pedro's protecting his face because it's all cut up from dealing with Sam Surridge on Saturday night.
It felt like – let's go back to the first half, which, we're all so excited about how this match ended, and there was electricity in the building. The building's as loud as it's been all year, maybe in years, at the end of the match. The way Atlanta United played in the final 30 minutes, I thought they were going to win the game. I really did. They had all the momentum. I thought they were going to win the game. We still have to focus on the first 60 minutes of this match because there are really big questions and issues that need to be addressed. The one player in the first half, outfield player, that I thought was trying to do something was Pedro Amador.
Yeah.
So, we can, I want to say blast the team for the way they play in the first 60 minutes. I don't want to blast the team, but I thought Amador was the exception.
They were not good enough at the start. And it's funny, Mike, you actually tee up the question and answer from Brad Kazan from downstairs perfectly. Because that was what Brad was asked about, and this is Brad Kazan from downstairs.
All right, we'll come back to that here in just as
the start of the games.
I don't know. We need to be able to start games like we finished, and not in a transitional way, because it can't turn into that. I don't know if it's nerves. I don't know if it's guys are scared. We got to go out and play with confidence and be on the front foot. We talk about that daily. And the whistle blows. We wait for things to happen.
Was this a good result?
Listen, I think at this point we need points. We needed 3 points.
Yeah, they needed 3 points. They needed 3 points, but they did come out and put together a strong second half. But how do you get the first half figured out? I mean, Brad Guzan talked about it. I mean, like, they talk about it, but then as far as getting the action and getting the performance for the first 60 minutes of every match, you can't just fold in the first 60 and then hope to really replicate what you did tonight in every match that you play. I just don't understand how you get that performance in the first half.
This is what's frustrating, because this isn't like some other sports where, okay, you can call a timeout early if the energy's not where you want. You can make an early change if you're not getting what you want on the field. You know, like Abe, you said coming in about Rob Valentino saying, like, this won't happen again. He can't guarantee that. Mm-hmm. And he's done everything that he can to fix that. I think a lot of times we yell about managers in the sport, and they're very important in terms of setting a team up and the way that they want to play and all that. But when you talk about what the issue is with Atlanta United right now in the three of the last four halves, it has nothing to do with tactics. It has nothing to do with the choices of who's on the field and how they're aligned and how the team wants to play. It's down to the level of intensity that the players are bringing. And that can't be fixed by Rob Valentino. That's got to come from within.
Now, I don't understand how that happens at home, especially how you start lethargic and listless at home.
Yep.
I do think, quite frankly, this team is devoid of vocal outfield players. Which is why Brad Guzan, by the way, has captained this team the last couple of years. Now, Alexei Moranchuk could end up being a vocal outfield player, but he's only been here for a couple of weeks. They have Ronald Hernandez. He is a vocal outfield player who has worn the armband. He's hurt.
Yep.
Okay? So, you know, Jason mentioned you can't call a 20-second timeout and regroup.
Yep.
You know, sometimes you need someone vocal out there outside of the goal mouth, and I don't think you got it right now with the current healthy group that you're playing with.
Something I mentioned in the first half that jumps out to this, the way that you can't call that timeout, you can't stop the play, you can't make a quick change. There is a lot of body language in the way that a game plays out, and you can't always be vocal. Sabo Lomgenidze, for example, is not the most vocal player, but he is very demonstrative, and he is very forceful in the way that he plays to make a point to the players around him. He took off on a sprint on one, and it was probably ill-advised. He couldn't turn the corner, but that kind of movement, it's saying to the players around him, hey, let's go. Amador gave you some of that. You have to find those things. That's why I joke about getting stuck into a tackle and going two-footed on somebody and deck somebody. And I'm not really joking. Like, if you want to change the energy, put somebody down on the ground. Like, you want to change the energy? Deck Messi on the middle of the field. See what happens. Like, that's how you start to get these things to happen.
And you talk about energy, and it's going to be critical for this team. Five matches left in this season, many of those coming against playoff opponents, and coming most recently, Red Bulls on Saturday. We'll discuss that match and hear from Brooks Lennon, the right back for Atlanta United. When we get back, full-time report, 2-2 draw, Inter-Miami and Atlanta United. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. More to come in a moment.
This is the Full-Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They are doing some good work here down on the field, getting things prepped for Sunday night football, erasing the lines. Of course, that's a game you'll be able to hear right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. In the meantime, our friend Matty Cruz has been busy beneath the stadium chatting up with Atlanta United players. The most recent one she caught up with was Brooks Lennon.
I mean, a result like this kind of helps, especially after the loss. How did you guys rebound after the national game coming into this one?
Yeah, I think everyone knew that we need to pick up the energy, especially at home. You know, the result against Nashville just wasn't us. I think everyone's performance was down. So it was a good you know, test for us tonight against a great team, and to fight back twice in the game was great. I think we should have won it at the end there. But it was a good response from the guys, and we just got to keep our heads down and hope we can get as many wins as we possibly can from here on out.
Being able to come back after a deficit and being able to show the resilience, I mean, what does that say about this team and the fight that they do have as they head into the last couple games here?
Yeah, I think it's important to see, you know, us fighting until the very, very end. You know, no matter what happens in the season, you know, every time you put this shirt on and you put the badge on, you know, it's an honor. And to step across the white line, you know, you must give everything for Atlanta United because, you know, that's the standard that we've set for ourselves. So, yeah, we're looking forward to Saturday against Red Bull. We got, I think it's five more games, five finals, and hopefully we can, you know, get 3 points on Saturday.
It is Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman as we wrap things up here on the Full-Time Report. I want to welcome in Mike Connie and Jason Longshore one more time. And you're talking about a matchup here, Atlanta United in 11th place tonight. The two teams in front of them are going to be playing each other this weekend, though, Philly and D.C. Atlanta United heading up to New York to take on the Red Bulls, who currently sit in 5th place in the Eastern Conference. And look, maybe you didn't carry any momentum or lack thereof from Nashville. It kind of carried whatever that game was into the start of this game. Hopefully you can carry what was the end of this game into Red Bulls. But what are you guys expecting on the weekend? What are some of the key matchups heading out? You have something to say?
Yeah, well, Atlanta United could have won this match tonight 8-0, and it would not have mattered in any respect going into Red Bull Arena. It's just,
I'm trying to build something.
Momentum does not matter when you're going to Red Bull Arena, unfortunately. It has just been a snake pit for Atlanta United over the years. Never won there. They've only scored one goal there all time, one goal. Jason alluded to this in the game broadcast, and he's correct. You have had some good recent performances there. You had a draw in 21. It was a scoreless draw, but it's all you needed to do to basically lock up a playoff spot was go up there and draw.
That was a very good result.
That was a really, really good result. 2023, you did it. You finally scored. 2022, excuse me. You did it. You finally scored there. But it was a Caleb Wiley who had the penalty. There was a really, really kind of unfortunate penalty.
Caleb had a tough night.
Yeah, and but you ended up, I think, playing them evenly at worst. Maybe you were even slightly
better
on that night. You outplayed
them that night. You should have won that.
And then last year you got drilled. Mm-hmm. By the way, that 22 match we're talking about, Thiago Almada was suspended for that, and Atlanta outplayed them. So they're a little different now, though. They're a little bit different. They have a new coach. I think this is a team that's a little bit more positive than the typical Red Bulls teams that we've seen in the past.
that doesn't take much.
Very low bar, as you know, but they are a little more positive. You got to go in there, and you've got to do whatever you possibly can do to at least get a draw, and you've got to come out with intensity, and that is it. I'm telling you, if you've never seen a match at Red Bull Arena before, that is a very, very difficult place for the road team to come in and dictate tempo and have energy and intensity off the bat, because that stadium ain't full. It is a relatively quiet stadium, might even be more so on a Saturday night in football season, I don't know. We talk about this in the NBA with Hawks games a lot. You go, you play games in certain arenas. You have to manufacture energy early because there's no crowd noise. Atlanta United's going to have to do that. They're going to have to play with way more first-half intensity than we have seen out of them in recent matches tonight and against Nashville. I thought they were okay against Charlotte and LA Galaxy in the first half, but there have been more than a few recent instances in which Atlanta United came out with not the proper level of intensity to begin a match. Brooks said it's five finals. That makes me squirm a little bit because I think that's really hard to kind of maintain the mindset of each match being a final for five consecutive matches. But you've put yourself in this position now. If they get 10 points out of the final five, where does that put them? 42 points.
You're in the playoffs with 10.
Yes.
Because at least one of those wins, potentially two, would cut.
Well,
you're 3-1-1.
You hope you're beating Philly. I mean, that Montreal is a six-point match right there.
Yeah.
Montreal's a six-point match.
Yeah.
The team, by the way, just really quick, I don't want to distract from the Red Bulls. The team that's sliding right now is Charlotte.
Charlotte, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. They lost 2-0 to Orlando tonight. So
Jay Fortune broke Charlotte.
Yeah, a little bit. And by the way, I don't know if anyone noticed, Nashville won again tonight.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, Nashville's a little scary at the moment. They were very good here. Atlanta was very bad in that game. Here's a couple things about the Red Bulls. And look, we haven't seen them all year. It feels weird that we haven't seen them all year. It's been almost a year, almost about 15 months since we've seen the Red Bulls. Since Emil Forsberg, who was a great signing for them, since he made his last start on June 1st, they've won 2 of 15 across all competitions. They've only scored 16 goals in that period. Forsberg gave them the difference in being that guy that fit the system and could win matches on his own. Without him, they're not even what they were. So you have to take advantage of that. They're going to try hard. They're going to run around. They're going to kick you. They're going to try to press you. You have to turn that back on them and be clinical in the attacking half in this match. And just like I said earlier about, you have to talk about both sides of tonight. We've talked a lot, and I've harped on it, and I feel like it's important to. The first 60 was not good enough. Really, before the first goal, not good enough. So 57-ish, not good enough. The goal gave you a little bit, deflected free kick, goes against you. The energy changed in the building. You rode that. You have to continue that part of it. Somewhere in there, there's fight in this team. And we've seen it throughout the year. The up and down nature of showing that fight is the unacceptable part. It's got to be 90 minutes. It's got to be for 450 more minutes, plus all the stoppage time that we're going to see in these last five games. And, yeah, they got to treat them like finals. And if that means grinding it out and winning 1-0 on a deflected goal and then beating people up to get the result, do it. Whatever it takes to get into the postseason, show what you're made of.
Yeah, it is by any means necessary right now for Atlanta United. And you can check out that match right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as well. We'll have pregame coverage, the Five Tribes Countdown at 6:30, followed by the call of the game. Mike and Jason will have that for you up there in the Northeast at 7:30. So that's going to do it here for the full-time report. Again, Lionel Messi subbed in the 61st minute, played 30 and stoppage time, but Atlanta United equalizes during that span, and the two teams settle for a draw in this one. For Mike Connie and Jason Longshore, I am Abe Gordon. We've got Garrett Chapman here. I want to thank Dom Chorosky back in studio. As always, Kramer on site engineering and getting it done here as well. Atlanta United and Inter Miami each take home a point on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.